You're back in.
All right, we are back in open session and recording. 10 minutes before the next segment, so let's go back to our initial investigative reviews where we left it off. So we are on. 2141. Tracy, would you read us the summary?
Yes. Case 2141, the complainant is Teresa McCrowsky. The respondent is Christopher Page, DVM. On March 17th, 2020, Mason, a 15-year-old male rat terrier, was presented to respondent for a cardiac evaluation due to frequent syncope episodes during excitement. The dog had been evaluated by a neurologist and placed on an anticonvulsant, but the episodes continued to occur. Respondent diagnosed the dog with degenerative vascular disease and prescribed sildenafil. He discussed his findings with complainant and emailed a copy of his discharge instructions to her. According to complainant, respondent did not provide her with proper instructions following the appointment or to her referring veterinarian until 2 months later. Due to this, complainant claimed she lost 2 months where further testing could have been done on the dog. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded, the board dismissed this issue of no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
Do we have no respondent, Mr. Stoll monitoring?
Yes, sir.
No complainant, and Dr. Byrne, you are the lead.
Yeah, so, and after reviewing the information on case 2141, I don't really find anything that falls out of agreement with the IC committee as stated in their summary, so I guess I would make the motion to dismiss violation with case 2141.
Second.
A motion on the floor and a second to dismiss 2141 with no violation. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion passes. 2141 is dismissed. Next up is two-pack. 2142 and 2143. Tracy, would you read the summary, please?
Yes. Case 2142, the complainant is Lauren Cocorney, and the respondent is Gail Wilson, DVM. And on June 23rd, 2020, Yoda, a 17-year-old female domestic long-haired cat, was diagnosed with squamous cell carcinoma by Dr. Wilson. Complainant elected to treat the cat with antibiotics until her quality of life deteriorated. On September 8th, 2020, the cat was declining, and gabapentin was dispensed while the complainant considered her options. On September 21st, 2020, Dr. Nutter was scheduled to perform at-home euthanasia on the cat. After the euthanasia procedure, due to the condition of the cat, Dr. Nutter contacted law enforcement to file an animal neglect report against complainant. And the committee concluded that there was a possible violation of the Veterinary Practice Act. And it was moved and seconded, the board find ARS 3220-32, number 11, gross negligence for treatment of a patient or practice of veterinary medicine resulting in injury, unnecessary suffering, or death that was caused by carelessness, negligence, or the disregard of established principles or practices for not strongly recommending humane euthanasia to prevent unnecessary suffering or death. Did you want me to go on with 2143?
Sure.
So, case 2143.
You know what, this is a little different two-pack. It's got a different summary, right? Yes, so let's do take these separately. We got nobody here for either one. So the case 21, Dr. Jane, how do you want to handle it? You're the lead on all of these. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we can take them separate.
Splitting them? All right. So on 2142, there is no respondent, nobody monitoring, and no complainant, and Dr. James, you're the lead.
So I have a hard time with the findings of gross negligence in this case. I get potentially that the cat might have suffered more because it was continued on in care, and maybe euthanasia should have been pushed a little bit harder. But I also, though this veterinarian was seeing this case all the way through, these things can progress pretty rapidly. So seeing the cat a couple weeks prior to when it was euthanized, things could have changed in that amount of time. I think the other piece that is hard for me on this one is that this cat was not neglected. This cat had been treated by a veterinarian multiple times. And yes, it's a warehouse cat, but multiple times this cat had gone to a veterinarian and was currently on pain medication to try and keep it comfortable. And everybody's definition of when euthanasia should happen is different. There was documentation from this doctor as far as what signs to watch for when you can say this cat's suffering. And it differed from what the other veterinarian thought it should be, but that doesn't mean one's right or wrong. I think everybody's interpretation of that is a little bit different. And I just had a really hard time finding a violation when this doctor saw this cat 2 weeks prior, prescribed pain medication, and told the owner the signs to watch for that this cat was going downhill and was going to need to be euthanized. Like, I don't see this being a violation.
No, and I'm kind of a little annoyed is the right word, that there's basically a suggestion that I have to kill animals or I'm going to be negligent in practice.
Right.
It's like that's really a dicey line to be walking. So, no, I'm totally out on that.
So I'm going to make a motion in the case of 2142 that we find no violations of our practice act or rules.
I'm going to second that.
A motion on the floor, any second? To find no violation, so let's vote on that first. Any further discussion on that? I guess I'll throw it there for discussion if somebody wants to pick it up. I don't think a letter of concern would hurt to maybe more emphatically think about it. Even though you don't tell somebody to do it or how and when to do it, we could communicate that, you know, you need to do a better job communicating with your client. Maybe.
I have a hard time because 2 weeks is a long time in a case of this kind of condition. And I would also say she did talk about it. She put the cat on pain medication to where the owner could have time to decide, you know, when was the right time and say goodbyes and all those things. Yeah. But she even told them signs to watch for.
But I would say maybe it was terminal cancer.
Yeah, but clients have to make the
for me with terminal cancer, yes. You medicate me until I yell. Mm-hmm. But an animal with terminal cancer, we're responsible for, at some point, human makes a decision.
Yes, but I don't think we can.
But the vet doesn't make that decision. The owner makes that decision.
The owner makes that decision, and based on your own personal beliefs, that can be very different.
Yeah.
I think the vet's responsibility is to make sure the cat isn't suffering by providing pain medication.
And the two of you were arguing with me about the ownership deal on a case just a few months ago
where
you were totally opposite.
Yeah, but euthanasia.
Because we were talking about something, we weren't talking about euthanasia. We were just talking about property ownership.
Yeah, but euthanasia, I mean, taking a life is not something where it's like the veterinarian.
So I'm not hardcore on it. I just threw it out there, and it's a dud.
Yeah, euthanasia is one of those things where I don't like venturing into euthanasia and trying to make any kind of rules around that or any statutes around that beyond very open basic stuff, because that is a hugely touchy subject. I have some clients that absolutely 100% refuse to euthanize their animals, religious beliefs or whatever. I'm not going to get into that conversation with them. That's a conversation I am losing from get-go, so what is the point of getting into that? We have other
cases.
But
you would document that in your record, though.
I would document euthanasia recommended.
And for religious purpose, they decline.
Client. It's not my job to judge their religious decisions.
No, you're not judging.
Political or anything that way.
It's a description of their...
Yeah, but I would just say client declined. I mean, as long as it's offered and declined, I think that's enough for me. But euthanasia is a very different animal, and I would not like to do anything around that, honestly. Because like I said, clients 100% have that authority over their animal. And if they don't want to do it, we can call the police on them. But I can't just take the animal in the back room and kill it. We'd be here for a whole other thing, and we'd probably be taking out that license at that point. So you either don't do anything and you get a negligence charge, or you do something and we take your license for practice. That's a horrible situation, and I don't even want to play with that.
No, I don't want to get through this.
Put it out there,
you sufficiently killed
it. I like it, no.
You sufficiently killed it.
And suggestions. Then ran over it a couple
times. And ran over it.
In reverse.
So the motion on the floor is to dismiss.
But
any further discussion? I have none.
Oh, but we've got another case right after it.
All right. Motion on the floor is dismissed. Seeing no further discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes. 2142 is dismissed. Next up is 2143. Christina Nutter, DVM. Tracy, would you read us a summary for that one?
Yes. So, case 2143, the complainant is Lauren Corcorny, and the respondent is Christina Nutter, DVM. On June 23, 2020, Yoda, a 17-year-old female domestic long-haired cat, was diagnosed with squamous cell carcinoma by Dr. Bills. The complainant elected to treat the cat with antibiotics until her quality of life deteriorated. On September 8, 2020, the cat was declining and gabapentin was dispensed while complainant considered her options. On September 21, 2020, Dr. Nutter was scheduled to perform an at-home euthanasia on the cat. And after the euthanasia procedure, due to the condition of the cat, Dr. Nutter contacted law enforcement to file an animal neglect report against complainant. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board dismiss this issue of no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
All right, we have same case, no respondent, nobody monitoring, and no complaint for 2143. Dr. James is the lead.
So, this case where no violations were found, I had a couple concerns. First, I really have a hard time reporting somebody for animal neglect who has documented history of going to a veterinarian for care for this cat, recent care for this cat. I just don't know how you need to call that neglect. This cat was well cared for, in my opinion, more so than many of the cats we see in private practice that live in owners' homes that don't go to veterinarians for 10 years at a time. This was not the situation here. So yes, I can understand that Dr. Nutter walked into something she wasn't particularly prepared for, and I wouldn't have been either from how aggressive this tumor was, but I struggle a little bit with animal neglect. The other piece of this that is concerning to me is the posting of this cat on Facebook. And I understand, or webpage, I don't know, I understand from her reasoning on why she did it was to educate about how to tell when your pet's ready to go. And that is her business, and that's what she does for a living is this, so she's probably a little more sensitive than general practitioners. But what I would say is, it's not professional to take somebody's cat who just passed away the day before and put it out on Facebook. Like, that is an emotional thing. I just do not see how anyone would think that that was okay. And so I guess for me, I don't find that professionally acceptable or using any kind of courteous involvement with this owner.
Yeah, the complaint, the reports on negligence, again, I would not want to tie someone's hand on that kind of thing. We definitely see issues. I've had clients come into my hospital, and I mean, as soon as I walk into the exam room, I know exactly what their house looks like, just based on the smell of the animal. I mean, any vet has had been in those situations. So there are cases where neglect and things need to be reported. And again, I would kind of call a qualified immunity thing and a whole lot. I mean, we even have this here. You have the best of intent. As long as you're doing it with good intent, that's a good thing. And I think that reporting a negligence is a good intent, but yeah, I have a huge issue with the social media.
Huge issue with what?
The social media posting picture. That is sticking in my craw.
I would say it's insensitive.
It's not, I mean, that's, but I think that's a violation of
how would you know some person you never met before would find you on Facebook?
So you gotta be careful what you do on the internet. It's gonna haunt you entire life.
But it's under her business.
That's why I'm glad I grew up
for it's under her business, you used her business,
yeah.
It may have been stupid and insensitive, yes.
I mean, I don't think she meant harm by it. I really felt like her description was she meant it
to be able to
use as an educational tool, and she took it down. I agree with that. I just feel like I don't know that would have ever even crossed my mind to post a picture of somebody's dead cat.
That shouldn't cross your mind. That's my issue. Is that is a huge issue for me. That's not just a letter of concern issue. I think that's probably something that needs to be removed to informal.
Well, I would.
How about if you photoshopped it, made it a different color?
I did a vintage photo of that. But no, I don't think
you made it anonymous. So this person wasn't offended, but you still had a useful tool.
I don't think that's acceptable at all. In a human, I mean, you block out the eyes and all that. Is it okay to post their picture still in an operating room or in a hospital? I mean, human doctors have gotten in trouble for that a lot. I shouldn't say a lot, but they get in a lot of trouble when that's happening. I mean, there was not too long ago a surgeon who took a picture in a hospital or in an exam or operating room and posted something, and that's a problem. Social media is going to destroy people's lives. It already has. So this is a huge issue for me. So I've said my piece, but I'll make a motion eventually if everybody else has been talking.
So maybe I'm out of order here, but I was going to make a motion on a violation, but I guess that would be a consent agreement at this point. Not. And then go to an informal if not accepted. Or we just go straight to informal. Because, I mean, would it change at this point for you guys to hear from her? Because then I would say maybe just go to an informal.
Not necessarily. So, what are your thoughts on that? Like violations and all that?
I was going to do R311-501-1 for considerate treatment and of this owner and cat. I mean, I don't know what else it would really go under. And that goes to 32 number 12. And then if she didn't accept that, we'll get it done.
So that's the Curtis interchange one you said?
R311-501-1 is it's kind of the general one, the owner showing respect for the owner, which I don't think that is not showing respect for an owner by posting that picture. I don't think it says through courteous, verbal, and written interchange. I don't think that was the issue, although you could say a part of this time they did seem to get a little heated in their courteous verbal interchange, but that's not where I'm going with that.
Yeah, I don't know. That part he said, she said.
That is a he said, she said. That's why I said I'm not getting into that. I don't know what happened. It would be really hard to say.
Nobody had a question.
The doctor in the other case, though, did report that this doctor was pretty aggressive. So
yeah.
I think it was definitely an emotionally charged situation that they were in, and I can see how that would happen. I'm not saying it's appropriate, but what I'm focused on here is just the respect or considerate treatment for this owner and posting a picture of the cat.
Yeah, I either say that or an ethics one. So.
So that's the only thing. Just the post, not the reporting of potential neglect. Just the post.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have reported it as neglect, but I don't think that's a violation. Yeah. She has a right to do what she feels is right. I personally would not.
I agree with you there. I think elevating it to the proper authorities is never a wrong thing, because then they can make that determination. So I think giving the professionals wide berth in that regard is totally acceptable. I mean, I never want to, again, tie that up, because human abuse usually stems from animal abuse. I mean, it's one of the first things we see. So, yeah, I would never want to tie that up. Yeah, it's frustrating, it's annoying, but everything this one tries to do, being investigated. Nobody wants to be investigated, but I mean, if everything comes out great, cool. But like I said, it's that taking it upon yourself, posting on social media, an animal that's not yours, these kinds of things. That's just a huge violation of trust and just the basic thought process. What is the thought process of doing that? So that's where I have an issue. So I think that's a good statute or rule.
I think it's a rule, and it goes to the statute of 3222,
3212,
which is your ethics
violation.
So, yeah.
Okay. We have that motion on the floor. We have a second.
Yeah, second. If I said that, sorry.
So.
Yes, Frank.
Yes, does that make sense?
So you guys are offering a consent agreement and fine. So you need to vote on finding the investigative committee report and findings of fact.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah, as it relates to the posting on social media.
Right.
So,
but they didn't.
Well,
they didn't have any. Oh, the findings of fact.
Findings,
yeah.
Not the conclusion.
Yes. Findings of fact. You're right.
Oh, can I make it all in the same motion? Just make a motion that we accept the investigative committee's findings of fact as our findings of fact, and then find a violate or offer a consent agreement with regards to the posting of the cat on the social media, and it'll be R311-5011 for respect for the owner, and it relates to 3222-32 number 12.
So that's a second bullet thing, right? That's, yeah, I'm going to second that.
All right, we have a motion for and a second. I guess I had a huge problem with trying to figure out, like you said, it is a he said, she said, but they are so vastly different. I don't know whether this woman was on FaceTime the whole time or not. And how could the veterinarian be totally ignorant that she was on FaceTime the whole time? Was she on mute? The whole thing just blows my mind, the total difference. I had to kick her off because she was trespassing. Then I called me and walked out to my car and made a phone call, and then I went down to Circle K and got a drink.
No.
Okay, and then I came back. And I called the police. No, I called the police. What? I mean, that part is just crazy, and a complaint expects something to go on here, then. Or the respondent wants to mitigate themselves, however, in whatever way, you need to show up here and give us something. Because this was just crazy. And then I'll throw out there, in case anybody from the police department or the Phoenix Synod city manager happens to listen to the recording, it is horrible to try and get a complaint. There's no reason why Tracy could not have got that report if she had the incident number, and there's no excuse for that detective not transferring your call directly to the person who was going to give it to you. That is just total wrong, and that's the way they do business, from my own experience. So that's just wrong. And they should have given you that written report. They should, just out of courtesy, and commonest courtesy, anybody calls them, not just another agency. And you need a report, and requesting a copy transfer you to the person that's going to give it to you. Yeah, you may got to pay for it, but so what? That's just ridiculous that they behave that way. So I like that on there.
I'm going to second that.
You can't. That's discussion. That's discussion item.
Agree
that the assistant AG is just,
yeah,
his guts just churning now. Wishing he had some NS.
That's every day here with us.
Did I mention I brought Justin Larson with me this morning?
Yeah. Try to scare him off the
room. He could testify when he took me away. All right, so the motion on the floor is to find a violation, offer a consent agreement, and if refute or adopt the findings of fact as our findings of fact, offer consent agreement, find the violation, and if refused, move to the public. And we have a second, and...
Mr. Chairman.
Just a little roll call.
Yeah, thank you, members of the board, Dr. Janes. Just so I understand it, it's to offer the consent agreement with the violations noted based upon the committee's findings as they relate to the social posting of the social media. And then at some point, we're gonna need to discuss the discipline for the consent agreement. We can do that in a second motion. Thank you.
That was my plan.
Mine too.
So we'll do...
Good plan.
So do the roll call on part one.
All right, Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. Janes?
Aye.
Mr. Lodey?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
And Dr. Wright is an aye, the motion carries.
The next part of that is...
So can we ask, you know, if there's been any priors?
There has been no previous disciplinary history.
So, I think if there's been no history, I would probably say we do a year probation to get 4 hours of CE in ethics, veterinary ethics, and I would do no civil penalty.
You said no?
No. Good.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Years of working together might actually be...
No.
In addition to... in addition to the regular CEs.
Yeah, in addition to your regular CEs.
If not signed within...
Does that work?
Yeah, and if not signed, then we would make it to the formal. Well, actually, go to a informal, because they already went to an informal.
How many days?
And she doesn't accept it, right?
Yeah, she doesn't accept it, it goes to an informal, and it's just, do we give them 60 days or 30 days?
30.
30 days.
30.
30 days.
Do you want me to repeat all of that?
I have like 1 year probation to obtain 4 hours of CE and veterinary ethics and no civil penalty. Not signed in 30 days, it moves to informal.
I'm gonna second that.
Motion on the floor and second. Any further discussion? Let's do a roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. Janes?
Aye.
Mr. Lodey?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
And Dr. Wright is an aye, the motion carries.
Okay, we need to take a sidetrack here and go to section 4, number 3, regard to Aaron Hesrich, EBM, quarterly appearances required by consent agreement, board may review discuss take action on information presented. Good morning. We have a few more minutes of morning left. Will you please both state your name for the record?
Aaron Hesrich.
Chair Loheed, members of the board, Flynn Carey for Dr. Hesrich.
Thank you. And do we have a lead on this one? Or we'll just wing it.
Yes, Dr.
Oh, sorry, this was me on this one. I'm sorry. I was thinking the other one that was at you. All right, they pull out stuff up there. That was on the main agenda, right?
Yes.
Well, tell us, how's everything been going?
Thank you. Everything has been going really well.
Okay.
I'm really excited. It's been 11 months, and I feel the best I have in years. It's been a great process, to be honest, and so much as I've learned a lot. And the experience allowed me to really work through some of the root causes surrounding some of my my behaviors. Starting last week, I started working a few relief shifts at Westside Veterinary Clinic in Flagstaff, and it felt so good to be back in practice. The staff was really supportive, and I didn't run into any issues whatsoever, and I'm just moving forward. I feel like I'm on a really good trajectory right now.
Good. So you haven't had any issues with relapses, any issues going on there? Okay.
No.
Now, going back, because we had an issue with the lab before, right? That was
yes.
Back in February, I think it was.
But you missed a couple meetings.
Yes.
No, I haven't been here every time. And then we go back to the last one, so we had another error on their lab tests. Did they ever give you any kind of explanation for that, or they're just like, eh?
Honestly, the workers that I've spoken to while there just really haven't had any solid explanations. We go to the confirmatory tests, and those have all been negative, but it's been such a process.
Yeah.
Not getting results on time, because I was led to believe when they would be available. I was really grateful that May test was first time negative and we didn't have to go through that whole process.
Has there's been an issue with getting into the lab or something, with them being closed, or what was going on with that?
Yes, in April, I was called to test on April 25th, and that was a Sunday. I was down here in the valley because my personal dog was really sick and exhibiting signs of obstruction. So I had her down here in an emergency clinic. I tried so hard to find an AverHealth that was open, but none of those were open on Sundays. Apparently that has to do with my PIN number being associated with Flagstaff as the first clinic I registered with. They're open on Sunday. But I'd been told that I could test at any location, so it was kind of a matter of timing.
Have you looked at other labs? that's up to you, but yeah, it seems like they just, I don't know, but because it poses a lot of questions on our end, and then we're like, okay, we got everything, okay, we're negative again, but what the heck?
I know.
So it's just, the lab could be throwing a wrench into things a little bit, so I'm going to consider what to do with that. The confirmatory test was fine there. We had another one just the other day, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so just a few days ago, and I mean, things are looking good. So everything's good there. Is this just kind of a check-in one, or are we?
Mr. Chairman,
oh,
if I may, yes. A specialty exam is coming up, I believe, for Dr. Hisrich. And she asked that it would be during her normal quarterly appearance, and she asked that we move it either earlier or later. And I suggested earlier because she had a housing issue she needed to resolve, and I'm curious about the status of that.
Thank you. I am actually looking to purchase a home in Flagstaff and believe that I have one that I'll be able to move pretty soon. I'm normally staying with my parents in Camp Verde, although these past 2 weeks working at Flagstaff, I've just been at a hotel.
Okay. Good luck on the house hunt.
Yes. It's a little bit of a disaster.
Right. There's something like less than a 2-week supply on the market statewide.
Keeping on top of it. Feeling optimistic.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Any other questions for anybody?
So do we just have to grant the meetings? Are they the early extension then? Do we have to do anything on that?
Not at this meeting.
Okay, so no motion or anything on that? Okay. So I guess.
He's got to congratulate her on what she's doing.
Good job. Yes. Well, I was
thanks for driving all the way down here.
Yeah, say, get some Portillo's before I'm like that. But that kind of answers my things. But yeah, it was just the lab that I just, every time I see it, it's like, makes my eye twitch.
I understand. Mine too, trust me.
Yeah, as long as you're doing good on your end. It's just like I said, just when I see those things, I'm just like, God dang it. And then I'm glad it always works out. But yeah, I just don't understand what's going on with them.
I don't either. We've explored some other options. The idea had been that because I was traveling quite a bit and spending time at Camp Verde with my parents up in Flagstaff and then sometime down here with my sister, that the idea with this lab is that you should be able to test at any location, and there are several down here in the valley. So that's kind of why we've stuck it out with them, although I'm no longer sure it's been worth it.
Well, as long as it in the end works out, that's the big thing.
Yes.
But I'm happy with everything else right now. So yeah, we'll just do a month early and we should be good.
Yeah. Good luck with your specialty. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
And out of curiosity, Director Whitmore, was this agendized for switching her to the step down at this point, or was this going to be agendized in July for the step down?
July.
Okay.
All
right,
thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Keep up the great work.
I sure will.
Thank you. All right. Yes. Let's see if we can finish up our conditional investigative reviews. Yeah. Mr. Stoll, help me get to lunch. He's waiting on one more, then.
I think so.
Okay. 2144. Tracy, would you read us a summary, please?
Yes. Case 2144, the complainant is John Nacarado. The respondent is Brian Servin, DVM. On September 11, 2020, Marlo, an 8-year-old male, Bashan Mix, was presented to respondent at premises for an allergy injection and heartworm test. The dog was also administered ProHeart 12, which had been given in January of 2020. Complainant was refunded for the medication and the manufacturer was contacted to ensure there would be no adverse side effects to the dog. Complainant had also expressed concerns with the premises reminder system as there were inaccuracies for all of his pets with respect to testing and vaccination. It was determined that complainant unsubscribed from the email notifications on August 9th, 2019, which prompted the system to unsubscribe to all reminders for all pets. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, for this one we have no respondent, nobody representing. I can't believe you didn't write this control. And then no complainant. And Ms. Frost, you were the lead.
Yes, so I read the complaint and the response. The response. I still cannot figure out the true root of the complaint. What really triggered this, considering that he was responded to, all of the information, from what I can tell, was presented to him, along with the testing due date for the heartworm test, because in his complaint, that seemed like the one hanging piece. And it sounds like he's just unhappy with their practices, and I don't understand this, choosing another veterinarian if that's the case. So I see absolutely no violation, and he got 8 additional months of heartworm prevention at no cost to him. So I make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
Second.
A motion on the floor and a second to dismiss case 2144. Any further discussion? I had a question for our professional colleagues here. The selling point for the 6-month and the 12-month heartworm medication are compliance. Mm-hmm. So if you have compliance, after you do an initial heartworm test and there's no heartworms, you start them on the medication, so now they can't get heartworm, you still do it annually?
Yes, it's still highly recommended by the American Heart Society.
So how would they get
it? Are your vaccines at
nothing's 100%.
You get a guarantee 100%?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a good question, because we do get that a lot. So some people will say, no, you don't need to do it. And now they're actually seeing some research that shows that you can start ProHeart in a positive dog instead of starting HeartGuard Plus or ivermectin therapy in general. So I mean, it's probably safe to give in a positive animal, but if something were to happen, it's going to be the vet at fault. So we usually require those animal tests. But yeah, it's because nothing's 100%. Like, so just like a parvo vaccinated animal could still break with parvo, the manufacturers is like, well, there's going to be that outlier. It's going to happen from time to time. Yeah, but it's a good question because we get that question a lot.
Well, because I know now the 12-month product was not approved by the FDA yet, but the 6-month product, I actually used to sell that. That was the selling point. Mm-hmm. Was, you know, with all these other, they may be in that tablet, they may not.
Yeah.
And so they could be on a heartworm medication and still get heartworm, because the owner's not giving it to them exactly every 30 days, versus you give them the 6-month shot, no problem.
Yeah, you should be covered at that point. But
you know, so it was all about taking away the compliance issue. So
no, yeah, so that is a good question. But
I just had that hanging out there, yeah. And I don't want to call my competitor and ask them about their product. So
I'd ask you to. Yeah, right. That's totally fine.
All right, motion on the floor is to dismiss 2144. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes and that case is dismissed. And here's what Mr. Stoll's been waiting for. 1982, in regards to Rural Water and PBM. And Tracy, would you read us the summary of the IDR?
Yes. So case 1982, the complainant is the Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board, and the respondent is Laura Waters, CVM. On April 25th, 2019, the board office received information from DEA regarding Dr. Waters' conduct while practicing in Washington regarding allegations of a pet owner diverting controlled substances that were prescribed to his dog from 2013 to 2016. Shortly after the incident occurred, Dr. Waters sold her practice, applied for licensure in Arizona, and became licensed in Arizona in 2016. In 2019, due to the investigation of the incident, DEA requested Dr. Waters surrender her DEA registration. Dr. Waters complied. The state of Washington investigated Dr. Waters and her involvement with the possible diversion of controlled substances. In April 2021, the board office received information that the state of Washington and Dr. Waters came to an agreement. 12 months to obtain 11 hours of continuing education and pay a $5,000 penalty. And then some additional information was submitted, which is on the cloud regarding, it's from Dr. Waters' supervising veterinarian and hospital manager.
And with the statement April 29th from Dr. Waters.
In addition.
All right, so we have no respondent, Mr. Stoll, monitoring or making a statement?
A very, very brief statement. Just as you can tell, this has been a little, as Dr. Waters said in her statement, this has been a long nightmare for her. This relates back long, long time ago, before all the concerns about the Opioid Epidemic Act. This client had been a client for a long period of time, and it was just the last 2 years there was some diversion that she was completely unaware of. And then she was faced with this horrific proceeding in Washington that's dragged on for years and years. And I think this is a situation with the Washington board. Although they took their time, it was a long drawn out process. They came down on her pretty hard, and I would like to think that you would now consider this matter having been dealt with by the state of Washington and conclude that no further action is needed by this board with regard to her license in Arizona. She's been practicing successfully all during the period of time that this has been pending. So I hope that's the conclusion that you reach. Thank you.
Okay, 5 minutes up.
I want exactly 5 minutes. Keep going.
All right, and so, full statement, and Dr. Wright, you're going to lean on this one.
Yeah, actually, I have this one open this time. So, I mean, going through this, we all know, I think everybody was on the board when this actually came from in front of us the first time. Right, are you here now? Dr. Solomon? Yeah, Dr. Small.
Why not? Dr. Small.
But you're familiar with what was going on with this. It's definitely an unfortunate situation, but I think it's more unfortunate than it is intentional. The Washington board, they took their time, they kind of did this, but we're on kind of a restricted license right now from what I'm reading. Is that correct?
I believe so.
Yeah, so.
Restricted here in Arizona or in Washington?
No, in Washington. Okay. So we're deciding kind of what we're going to do here today. But she doesn't have a DEA license at this point. It looks like she's not prescribing controlled drugs in practice at this time, or she doesn't have access to them. Is that correct?
I think they're being prescribed under her supervising veterinarian.
Yeah, she was requesting, once she complies with everything for Washington, that she'd be able to prescribe here again.
Well, can she prescribe non-controlled drugs here? Yeah, I mean, she can do that.
I think it's just controlled.
Yeah, that's going to be up to the DEA. I'm going to leave that in the DEA. It's like get
separate states?
DEA's federal. Okay. So I say if they grant her another DEA license, then I'd be like, cool. But until then, I'm like, no. I mean, you don't have a license to do this. You don't have a license to do that. But you can still practice medicine.
Yeah, but a lot of practices practice under one DEA.
Yeah, is that actually legal?
I
don't think the umbrella DEA is as legal as we say it is.
I don't know.
Let's ask Justin.
What's that? What's that suggestion?
Just ask Justin.
I don't know if you can answer that, because it's a DEA regulation, but can you have, because those, when drugs come into my hospital, they're logged under me, it's my responsibility. Does another veterinarian without a DEA license have legal authority to use those drugs, because we always say, well, it's an umbrella DEA. Does that even truly exist?
So I have reached out to DEA on that, at least our local field office. And unless it's against your state, if they are legal to practice medicine in your state, it's up to you as the DEA registrant for dispensing and administration only, not prescribing.
So it's in-house stuff. So
right.
That's okay. And so that'd be my question is, do we limit that at all? And I'd be open to discussion on there. But I mean, I think in practice in general, I mean, this client who ultimately died took advantage of her. I mean, that's ultimately what it is. Is that client has to have a brunt of the responsibility. And yes, I think he took advantage of her naivete at that point to prescribe these drugs. And I think it is her fault in that regard for doing these things without, like I said, checking up on it, but most vets are naive when it comes to drug
seeking. With somebody?
Honestly, vets are naive in that. We expect the best out of people. We don't.
I remember a few years ago at the old location,
yeah, exactly, right?
where some elderly lady called me a racist, call all of us racist, because we wouldn't charge the veterinarian who would not give her an opioid to take home with her.
Yeah.
So,
well, and that's where it's up to the.
I mean, and to say, well, in 2016, we didn't know about drug diversion. Well, I mean, I may have been ignorant before 2014 when I came on the board, but I think it's been something going on forever.
But
it just hasn't been everybody in society being hooked on opioids.
Well, and most people.
But it's always been a problem.
Yeah, right? Most people didn't realize that you could drug seek from veterinarians. Because we think about the animal. We don't think about the owner using it most of the time. I've had drug seekers come in and try and get stuff from me, and I'm like, no, and they explode. You know, as soon as you say no, they're going to freak out. So, people come in and ask
this guy was. There's no evidence that this guy was going to this and getting a little bit from everybody.
Yeah.
He was getting all from her.
No, because like I said,
that's totally, they've already adjudicated that.
Yeah,
that's,
but I don't think, like I said, I don't. I think that's more of a naivete thing than an actual negligence or willful issue. So, like I said, I would be fine with restricting the controlled drugs either completely or at least just dispensing in the hospital or just using in the hospital, not even dispensing to clients.
I mean, restricting until she's released from her probation in Washington, or just restricting.
Until the DEA says it's okay for her.
Okay.
I would say, I would get another DEA license because she's going to have to protect herself after this. She's got issues that she's going to need to protect herself. So I would say, injectable drugs, things in the hospital around pain control, acute pain management, surgeries, yeah, that's fine. But dispensing out to a client, even dispensing from hospital stock, I'd be saying probably not at this point. But that's very easy to let another doctor in your hospital do that. And I think that's kind of protecting her, so along with protecting the clients.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. So like I said, I don't think we have to, I mean, I think she's still fine to practice. She's still been practicing.
Right.
She's still a good veterinarian. She made a mistake. It was a horrible mistake, but she made a mistake.
Doing a lot of CE pain,
yeah.
Hefty fine.
Yeah, so I would kind of a little bit more lay this on Washington and DEA at this point, but I mean, I would say, yeah, let's restrict any dispensing outside of the hospital, but she can still use the opioids in the hospital as needed. Would be my thought.
What restrictions do we have on her right now?
Well, I mean, we're just observing what happened in Washington.
Right.
So
I guess I just go, we're going to put restrictions on her? She doesn't have any restrictions on her right now.
But she has Washington restrictions. They're restricted there.
Well, yeah, but she's not there. She's here. And she's not
yeah.
going back and forth. So my big thing with this is,
I'd say get the
they've done their job, and I don't want to get in their way, and I don't want to add anything, right? But there's some conflicting information. She says that she fully was engaged and fought this up there. Well, it was a default judgment because there was no response.
Let me clarify. That was completely entered in error. Washington counsel confirmed that. There was no default that was entered. That's why.
So that's canceled. And that,
yeah. What okay. she reached was a settlement agreement with.
Well, it's a good thing you're here today.
That's always a good thing.
That was just a total.
Yeah, that was a mistake. That confused me as well.
Okay.
That's
so
that's the end part you're talking about where it says failure to comply, or because we're at the one that's not the order is the restricted order,
like
right?
Four different.
Yeah, because there's multiple orders here. So the one that she signed is the restricted order that says response credential to practice as a veterinarian in the state of Washington shall be restricted until respondent completes the
right.
education.
That's
so,
a consent agreement,
yeah.
basically, with what you guys were
saying. So during that period of restriction, in addition to mandatory continuing education, okay, 7 hours, 4 hours.
$5,000 fine.
Yeah, $5,000 fine within 12 months. Obey the federal laws. Okay, so they're not restricting
guess,
prescription there, actually.
So
I'm sorry.
Before I knew that, my only input was going to be that I don't want to do anything or grant any further permissions until I know that is all complied with.
So I would say,
but I'm a little less apprehensive about that now that I know that one of those documents is an error.
Correct.
So I'm a little less concerned on that point.
Yeah, I'm not horribly concerned about this in general. Like I said, it's an unfortunate situation, but like I said, I don't think there was intent. I don't think this is going to happen again. I think she learned it.
So far, we've asked to be kept in the loop,
mm-hmm.
and we have been. The slow part has been Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, can we just ask to keep you in the loop until this is all done?
Yeah. So, I mean, ultimately,
so 12 months, right?
I think the DA license is the big thing. She can't prescribe anything until she has
right.
one.
Well,
so
it's
I think ultimately
agreement.
We're throwing it back to them. No, exactly. We're throwing it back to them ultimately either
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
I think
it's
one
just,
of your concerns.
Can't she dispense from the actual hospital? I mean, because if you're getting morphine from Fry's Pharmacy or morphine from your hospital, I mean, that's my only thing. Do we say anything there? I'm happy to do it. Because I don't think this was intentional.
I think one of your concerns looking back was that she was just going to walk away from her Washington license and just surrender her license, and then we still have this conduct that was taking it, that was engaged.
Initially,
and
that's what it looked like.
Yeah, right? And then, but she moved here for reasons unrelated to that. She didn't even know about this. Anyway, the concern was that she would just walk away from her license and then would be free to practice here without ever having suffered the consequences, but she's. It's been, she litigated this in Washington, and you know, it's a pretty hefty sanction that she's
yeah.
going to comply with. So I'm hoping that you will conclude that you don't need to do anything beyond being kept in the loop of what's taking place in Washington, which ultimately will, she intends to comply with the order, she'll pay the $5,000 fine, complete the CE, and then the restriction will be lifted.
But there are currently no restrictions on her license?
No, we're just monitoring.
Okay.
See.
Well, did she finish all the CE and everything, or no?
What's that?
Did she finish all the CE in Washington and everything then, or no?
No, it's just, yeah. This just went down.
It's so restricted in regards to this.
She has, I mean,
it's not restricted. It's kind of more of us being on probation saying finish it within a year.
It's restricted through them. That's not restricted through
us. Yeah. No, but that says nothing on that.
No, but that's the restriction, is basically just like us finding a violation on someone and saying you have a year to pay your fine and complete this stuff. But it's not restricted in what you can do.
So it's just like the other cases where they just let us know then once their case has been immunized.
I don't know what I misread there, but I for some reason I thought that it was going to be the prescribing thing was there too. So I was like, yeah, I think that's viable, but it's not in there. She's not restricted to prescribing other than just not having DEA license. So I don't know how I read that in there, but I thought I read that somewhere.
You just made this discussion take a lot longer than that.
No,
you're welcome.
What she put in her letter was, I would also ask that consistent with the Washington order, I be allowed to again prescribe controlled substances once I have complied with the Washington disciplinary order.
Maybe that's where
so
I was
she's
something.
Under the assumption that she can't do that here.
I think that's a mistake on her part.
Okay, it's because I swear I read something somewhere about the controlled substances. I think that may be what I was
like. Yeah, because it's basically like she's asking us to allow her to do that again when we haven't ever told her she couldn't.
Yeah.
That's the DEA in Washington.
And she's also assuming that if Washington tells her it's okay to do that, that DEA doesn't have to concur.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know she might have a plan to get her DEA license back. It doesn't say that she's not working with the DEA. At least from what I know.
It's just like anything, I mean, we can revoke a license and we can still reapply if you want. It's just, it goes through the process. So like I said, so she could reapply whenever the DEA allows for it. But yeah, that may be where I could be, because I swear I saw
so is everybody happy?
So I would
was
say,
taking
yeah.
no action.
I was like,
and ask her to report back when all this is concluded. The 11 hours are done, the fine's paid, the 12-month probation is over.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I'm not sure that you want to, you know, keep this open pending her successful compliance of the Washington order. That could take a while. Meanwhile, you have on your records an open complaint now that's been open for, you know, more than a year. And she's under no, you know, obligation to keep you in the loop. I mean, she has shown her good faith and has done so, but she's done that under the auspices that she has a pending complaint, you know, before you. So I would ask that you either, you know, memorialize the Washington order in an order, an Arizona order, or that you consider dismissing it and requesting that she continue to, you know, keep you informed on her compliance with the Washington order. Keep in mind that if you dismiss it and she doesn't comply with the Washington order, you know, your actions may be limited to taking action on her failure to comply with another state's order versus the underlying conduct.
So I guess I understand that I don't want to dismiss it.
Mm-hmm.
What was my first option again?
Well, you could. I mean, and it's not uncommon for you to, you know, basically offer a consent agreement, basically incorporating, you know, Washington's order as to its terms and requiring her in the consent agreement to keep you informed as to her, you know, compliance. And then it can run concurrently, and once she, you know, completes the Washington order, the Arizona order would. Yeah, she could come before you and ask that it be terminated.
Mark, could we add DEA in that also?
You're free to add, you know, anything that you'd like. Yeah.
And then if we aren't kept informed or if something were to happen, just reopen a new case.
Well, that would be, you know, you would make that a term, and that would be a failure to comply with the board order. Yeah, so you're right, Dr. Wright. It would be opening up a new complaint, but it would be for failure to comply with the board's order.
Which was basically in memorializing the Washington order, all we're doing is saying to fulfill this consent agreement, you got to fulfill that one.
Correct.
And the completion of that completes this one.
Yes.
With the addition of DEA license.
Well, whatever, you know, but she doesn't have a DEA license right now.
Right. So yeah. She can't.
And we can't make her reapply for one.
No.
Yeah, she doesn't absolutely need one to practice. She just can't prescribe drugs at that point.
Okay,
yeah. So, yeah, so I'd be, and I'm sure the DEA is probably going to have some holdover for 3 or 4 years or something before they would want to re-grant it. I don't know, but I imagine they have some kind of internal workings on stuff. So I would just say, yeah, complain.
That's their job to their purview. We don't want them interfering with us.
Yeah.
Okay, so we should reference DEA in the consent order.
No, no, I think it would be good for her to inform us if she gets a DEA license. I don't know if we can say something there. If they do grant her a new license, inform us.
You can certainly make that a term so long as the, consent agreement, is active. Mm-hmm. But if she complies with Washington down the road, years from now, there does not necessarily be any...
Which at that point I wouldn't care necessarily.
Right.
Would there be a violation in the...
They would have to find a violation, and I would direct them to 18, or I'm sorry, 16, which is on page 21. So it would be 32.22, 16, unless, we can find another one, but that seems to be the one most on point. James, I mean, you said...
I don't think she's... It all happened in Washington, and they took care of what they had to take care of.
So you're saying 32.22...
16. Can you repeat that section again, Mark?
Sure. It's on... Well, it's 22.32.
Yeah.
Subparagraph 16.
Okay.
And it's on page 21, if you have kind of...
Okay. Gotcha.
I would hate to see her Arizona license be disciplined when this all happened in Washington. Washington is more than they've already done it. This has taken, I haven't gotten into this, but this has taken an incredible personal toll on her. And I don't know that she would be willing to sign a consent agreement like that.
I wouldn't.
Mr. Chairman, can we ask the council, can't it be a non-disciplinary action?
Well, you can certainly, you have your non-disciplinary options available to you, but I think they're what, limited to a letter of concern?
Yeah.
Is that, I mean, what were you thinking, Victoria?
Let me look in the statutes and I'll try to find what I was
looking
at. Sure. So to offer any kind of consent agreement, there has to be a violation at some point.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the chance and taking a look at it.
And this whole time, we have been kept informed when there was nothing happening, right? There's no sanctions, no nothing, right? And we know what we know. So do we have to have anything? Or just dismiss it? And if she doesn't voluntarily say, okay, I'm done with this, and report back, we can still direct staff to mark it on your calendar. 1 year from today, call her up and ask her.
Absolutely. That is on the table.
Well, and truthfully, I can't imagine she would go through all of these steps, get to this point years later, only to not complete her CE.
Well, like I said, once I knew
so
that
paid
one
a lot more
was,
than
was
that
an error, I mean, that just totally changed the whole picture, okay?
Yes, I think that's probably a better option, honestly, is kind of put it on the... Back in.
Yeah, because I mean, it's a double jeopardy. You can't be convicted of the same crime twice.
Well,
because you moved.
Yeah.
But we would want to make sure that she complies with the Washington order, or that we know that she complies with the Washington order.
But we can mark it on the calendar and call her or Washington a year from now and we'll know.
Then we just reopen the case at that point if she didn't comply with it. I think that's more headache paperwork wise,
yes.
I think it's better for her.
Definitely.
Yeah, I just don't see the.
They have a CA that mirrors the Washington agreement.
Yeah, I just don't see that. If we could do the consent agreement without a violation, then I'd be all for it. But a violation, I mean, it just, she's been there, done that, paid the penalty. You can't go to jail twice for the same thing.
Yeah, I understand.
Right?
Victoria, is that something that's easy enough to do, just to put a year, if we ask her to let us know, but if she doesn't in a year, we follow up?
Is that the letter?
He's put on your phone.
Do we always figure it out?
I've got April 1st on my phone, because one of my friends, April Fool Day is his favorite holiday, and he's gotten me really, really good a couple times. So it's an annual reminder.
So you're
planning. Comes up the day before, on the March 31st, that if he calls, don't believe anything he says. It's a reminder on my phone.
So.
Just like a birthday.
I don't care when his birthday is, I just don't.
Don't mess with me. So I guess make a motion to dismiss this case at this time, and then direct the board staff to follow up in 1 year to.
Or ask her, I mean, she's been.
Or ask her.
She's been fighting this, she's gonna pay the money, do the hours.
So ask her to let us know, and if we don't hear anything in 1 year, then we'll follow up.
Trust but verify.
Well, I guess.
Who used that statement?
Don't go there.
The meeting always goes long enough already.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, so I think that'll work, satisfies me.
Okay, so there's a motion?
That's my motion.
Second.
And a second.
Okay.
So to close the case, let's just go do a roll call, just to be sure.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lohi?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
And Dr. Rez and I, the motion carries.
Thank you.
All right.
Have you got break?
Sorry, it's a little late for your lunch.
Have you guys decided on the 1145 informal, the Powell's case?
It's pended.
It's already been pended?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'm pended until next month. Okay.
Well, you be safe out there.
See.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, Trace.
And okay, so we got 5 minutes before we do our.
Justin, nice to meet you.
We're
going to
break already.
Okay, it's 12:30. Yeah, hey. All right. What's our 12:30? All right, we're at a break. Yep, 12:30 is our Google Meet meeting.
Oh, that's right.